So how do we understand Krishna's statement of yogakshema bahamyaham in the context of, say, material problems require material solutions? And now see, many times we take verses from the scripture and we use them as standalone verses for conveying some philosophical points. And they can be used that way, but these verses come in a particular context. And if we see what is the context, this is 9.22 in the Bhagavad Gita. And from 9.20 till 9.33, Krishna is basically contrasting material worship with devotion, with worship of the devatas, with his own bhakti. And that's why 9.20-21, he's talking about how if we worship the devatas, Trayvidya Mamsopaha Puta Papa Yagyairishtva Sargatim Prarthayante Te Punya Masadhya Surendra Lokam Ashnanti Divyandi Videva Bhogam Tetam Bhuktva Sargalokam Vishalam Kshine Punya Marte Lokam Vishanti Evam Traidharma Manu Prapanna Gatagatam Kama Kama Aladhanti. So Krishna says, even if you go to heaven, you'll fall back. So that result is temporary. In contrast with that, whatever a devotee achieves, Ananya Shintayanto Mam Yejana Paripasa Tesham Ityam Yuktanam Yogakshimam Bahamyam. So whatever one has achieved on the spiritual path, that will always stay with you. So this 20 to 22 is a contrast of the longevity of the results of demigod worship and Krishna worship. Then 24 to 26 more or less, 27 is the contrast of the simplicity versus complexity. That Krishna says that for the other you have to perform elaborate rituals, whereas for this patram pushpa for worship patram pushpam phalam toyam. Then from 27 onwards, when Krishna talks about that 27 28 29 30, there is talking about how in the material in karmakand, if you commit sinful activity, you'll get a sinful reaction. But if you practice bhakti, and even if you do something sinful, bhakti itself will purify and elevate one. And then lastly, he talks about, you know, to do certain karmakandi rituals, you have to be born as a brahmana, you have to have a high birth, certain qualifications are required. But bhakti doesn't require any qualifications. So essentially, that whole section is a contrast between demigod worship and the practice of bhakti. So we cannot take that statement as an absolute principle which applies in all situations. So Arjuna is a pure devotee. But did Arjuna cut corners in his practice of archery, thinking that, you know, even if I don't practice, now Krishna will make sure my arrow hits the goal? Arjuna did not do that. We know how tirelessly Arjuna practiced. One night when he was eating his food and the lamp went off. So he thought, hey, if I can eat food when it is dark, then I can shoot also when it's dark. And then he practiced at night and he started shooting invisible targets. So Arjuna did not think my bhakti is a substitute for my dedication in my practice of archery. So yogakshema mahamyaham is in the specific context talking about how the results of bhakti are eternal. It is not a universal statement for all kinds of protection in all situations. That's in the context of the Bhagavad Gita. Now, our acharyas have quoted it at times to talk about how Krishna will protect us, Krishna will provide for what we have. That is true. So, scripture is not limited to its context. Sometimes the scriptural verses can apply beyond their context also, and as general principles. But we have to understand them in the context so that we can see where they expand. So Srila Prabhupada, he created, he often would quote that, say, yogakshema mahamyaham. Acharyas have quoted that. But you know, Prabhupada actually was very careful about the material management also. You know, in the initial days, he would himself keep accounts of all the expenses. You know, Prabhupada was the founder of ISKCON and Prabhupada was the cashier of ISKCON at that time. And anybody who wanted, especially in the first, in New York when he was Lower East Side, anybody who wanted any money, they would have to come and ask Prabhupada for money. And in India, when Prabhupada was there, he said that the Western devotees, they just didn't have any sense of prices in India. And, you know, if they would go to purchase something from some Indian, they would charge 10 times the price. And the devotees would consider, oh, as compared to America, it's very cheap. And actually, they were being cheated, but they were not realizing it. So Prabhupada actually himself meticulously managed the finances in India. So Prabhupada did not have this attitude, no, Krishna will manage everything. See, there is a philosophical principle, which what it means is, Prabhupada's faith that Krishna will maintain me was in the sense that, you know, he just gave up his family, gave up his job, and he was ready to go to America. When he went to America, he did not even know whether he would have vegetarian food or not to eat. So that dependence was there on Krishna. But see, dependence on Krishna in extraordinary situations is not a justification for creating sustainable arrangements in normal situations. You're understanding this exceptional situation. So we do the best to raise funds for a temple. And then at the last moment, just some things don't work out. And you know, we may pray to Krishna, and Krishna may somehow, from somewhere, somebody will come and give some donation and the necessary target will be met. But if we don't do any endeavor, anything, Krishna will arrange everything. That is not the system. That is not the system at all. So we have to take care of our responsibilities. And there are times when, despite our best effort to take care of our responsibilities, things will go wrong or things will be beyond us. At that time, we just completely depend on Krishna. But dependence of Krishna, I talked about this in yesterday's class. Surrender to Krishna is not just like Draupadi raising her hands and saying, Krishna, I depend on you. Surrender to Krishna is also Arjuna lifting up his bow and being ready to fight. So that way, we depend on Krishna by doing our responsibilities diligently. And we depend on Krishna when, despite our doing the responsibilities diligently, when things don't work out, then you just depend on Krishna. Krishna, you take care. Like we have Yashodamai's, the two fingers in Damodar Leela. Yashodamai did his endeavor, and beyond that, Krishna's mercy was required. So Krishna's mercy is never meant to be a substitute for our endeavor. It is meant to be the complement, that which completes our endeavor. Our endeavor is essential. So Ananya Chintayanto Vima is, in the specific context, a verse talk which talks about the longevity of the fruits of bhakti as compared to demigod worship. And secondly, it talks about our acharyas have used it as a principle for talking about how Krishna protects in exceptional situations. But those very acharyas, if you look at their lives, they have created systems for sustainable functioning in the world. And they have endorsed that system. They have lived according to those systems. And that's why we cannot take one verse in isolation. Does that answer your question? You think further? Yeah.